Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm JD Bunkus. Alish Forfar. We're going to be joined by our friend Ben Nicholson-Smith. This insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Ben Nicholson-Smith at the letters, and we'll be editor, columnist, all of those things. One of the guys who's most plugged into the Blue Jays out there. What's up, buddy? How we doing?
Doing okay. I mean, that was a pretty disastrous road trip, wasn't it?
Oof, it was nice really ugly, man. Like, it was, yeah. And it's one of those ones, too, where I always go, like, how much of the attention would have been on you with, like, some of these night games over a weekend and a portion of the fan base all seeing it on the West Coast, but maybe some of the Blue Jays fans in general, like, in this market, like, kind of more casual viewing, right? Because it's like the games are starting at 10 o'clock. Even the games against the Athletics are starting at 9. And you just kind of had to just get through it, right? Like, you just kind of had to make your way out of this road trip with a decent record. It was obviously a lot of wins for the taking, and Seattle's right on your heels. It's an awful time for the Jays because they have this incredibly bad road trip. They've got a funeral today, and then they come back to Toronto with, like, what seems like a real sense of urgency around six games in terms of maybe potentially what this roster is going to add, what they're going to be able to do with adding, and the job security of the manager. And, like, I talked to you, you know, we've talked about this in private a little bit, but about, like, what would have to happen for them to make a change at the manager position. But, yeah, there is this like, human element thing that is just hanging over all of this. And do you feel like there is any sense of clarity or anything different because of this road trip that could result in the dismissal of Charlie Montoyo, like, at some point during the All-Star break?
Well, the All-Star break at this point is still a week away, and so you never know what could happen until then. I mean, as we saw in the last week, I mean, if they go, what, I guess they have four against Kansas City, so if they go 1-5 leading into the All-Star break, I mean, anything's possible. I don't think that change is imminent, especially given what the team is going through today as they attend the funeral of Julia Budzinski in support of first base coach Mark. So, you know, clearly this isn't the time to do it, but you never know. At the same time, you know, you could look to Atlanta last year, and they were in an awful spot midseason, basically hovering around 500, definitely out of the playoff race. Their best player was hurt, and they held on to Brian Snicker. He ended up holding up the World Series trophy above his head a few months later. So that's best case scenario. Lately, we've been seeing a lot more worst case scenario for the Jays. I don't think that you have to worry about that quite as much because, to me, it's personnel on the field. You know, you do need to resolve pitching because there's no chance the Jays are winning the World Series with this current pitching staff. It's just not happening.
Yeah, this is where, again, I feel as though they probably need a managerial change at this point. Like, I just do. I think that if you look at some of the issues with this ball club and their inability to take a step, you're right. Like, if I talked about this with Ennis earlier. If I'm power ranking the things that need to change, pitching is so far ahead of Charlie. Like, it's like you can't see him in the rear view. Like, he's not even a part of this conversation. I just wonder how many moves need to happen with the pitching staff right now for this to kind of feel like the Jays are going to be okay. And I think that this is a real, like, debatable discussion point given, like, what they have internally and some of the guys that haven't worked out. And, you know, you saw Max Castillo this weekend pitch, like, very well to the point where I'm like, huh, maybe this guy is something here. Like, maybe the Blue Jays actually have something in him. I don't know what, like, they think about the long-term future of this, but either way, I think that some people could argue they need a ton of pitching, and some people could argue that they need, like, something that's, like, really, really incredible out of the back end of the bullpen. There's just all these different ways of looking at it, but I don't, like, this is something we were discussing earlier, too, like, Ennis and I. Do you think that these guys are looking at this season right now with the same level of aggression given where they're at today? Like, we're less than a month away from the deadline. Do you think that they will use, like, the full force of the organization to be making moves like they did last year for Jose Berríos, where they're taking, like, top-shelf prospects to try to win right now?
So here's what I observed last year. And they were, you know, in somewhat of a similar position last year in the sense that they definitely didn't start out very well. And there were people saying it wasn't so much fire Charlie at that point. It was more so they should sell, you know, and I would get, you know, suggestions that it's time to sell Semien and Ray. And of course they didn't do that. So at that time last year, right. So, you know, when they were going through that in 2021, they basically viewed it as, okay, we are still looking at the big picture here. We still consider this team to be a very good team, despite some of the things that have happened, despite the win-loss record even. And the front office would take a 1,000-foot view and say, this is the time that we're trying to win. They are trying to bolster the team in any way that they can. And look, I mean, if the Jays arrive at the trade deadline one or two games above 500, I think it's less likely that they trade top prospects. I do think that. But at the same time, it's time for them to win. So they are not going to close that door. If they are even just hovering around 500 as the deadline approaches, there's no doubt that this team still has the talent and the potential to go on a run and to get into the playoffs and do some damage there. So at that point, you have to be open-minded about trading Aurelvis Martinez, Jordan Groshans. All that has to be on the table, even though this team has had an awful week, even though they are now way closer to the Orioles than to the Yankees, and they are fighting the Mariners for a playoff spot. And it's been horrible, but you still have to be in buy mode, and I fully expect that this front office will.
Yeah, I think they'll be in buy mode. I think that, like, the Berríos thing, for example, he had, like, he's the top of the pitching market a year ago, and he required a ton of prospect capital, and he wasn't under contract. And obviously, like, they felt comfortable giving that to him, and they looked at that as, like, well, he technically is coming with maybe some term because we're going to give it to him, and they probably felt pretty comfortable or had the go-ahead from ownership when they made a move like that. I just wonder if they're going to be at the top of the top with moves like that. And if we're looking at, like, okay, what's the number one thing the Blue Jays need right now, where, like, you can talk yourself into starting pitching normalizing to a degree. Like, you get Gausman back, and you have Berríos. Like, Berríos has to be Berríos, right? But then you're talking about, like, adding a fifth pitcher, and, like, maybe Castillo is that. Like, maybe he gives you at least something, but it shouldn't cost you, like, a ton. Where I look at it and say, well, where, this comes down to is you don't have those swing-and-miss high velo arms out of the back of the pen. And we've been talking about it all year, and nothing's been done. Now you're into July. Those arms are still going to remain expensive. What happens if those are, you know, rental pieces? What happens if those are guys that, you know, who likes to give relievers term in the open market the following year from now? You know, who likes to give up prospects for guys that could show up and not quite be themselves immediately? Like, it's just, that's the part of this that I do wonder, right? Like, if the right name comes up and the right situation, of course, I'm sure that they would be willing to add. But that just feels like such a hard departure from everything that this front office has told us with their actions basically the entire time they've been here.
And it might be time for that to change, because they haven't had a good bullpen with enough swing and miss stuff. You know, you don't want to just be trying to patch it together with Brad Hand and Trevor Richards and Joaquin Soria and some of the acquisitions they've made. They haven't really cost much, but at the same time, the impact hasn't been there either. So maybe it's time for this team, because I agree with your assessment of the starting rotation, that with Berríos starting to get on track, with Gausman avoiding the injured list, and with Castillo having shown what he did, it looks better than it did a week ago, which is great. So, you know, you add a depth arm for the rotation, that's not costing you a top prospect. The offense has been top 10 all year. It's a great offensive team. I know, yes, you know, they can be quote-unquote inconsistent, but that's baseball. Every lineup is inconsistent. The Blue Jays look at the big picture. They score a ton of runs. So the problem isn't there. The problem is the bullpen. And if you give up prospects for someone who can help you in 2023, that's good, because guess what? In 2023, they're going to need elite relievers next year as well. And there's no one coming. Like, I'm not banking on Nate Pearson being that guy, or Julian Merriweather, or anyone in the minor league stepping into that role. So you need someone who can do that. And if you can trade for it, hey, the price might be high, but this is an ingredient that you need to an elite major league team. And right now the Jays do not possess it, or at least enough of it.
Do you think that maybe at the beginning of the season to now, all these holes that seem to be appearing and all this anxiety that the Jays need to do all this stuff at the trade deadline, do you think that maybe back at the beginning of the season, we as a media and as an entire league overestimated a little bit of what the Blue Jays were, and maybe we're seeing the truth of that team now? Or is it just this awful stretch that's making it hard to see the silver linings?
Yeah, I mean, I had the Jays going to the World Series. Mm-hmm. So
you're not alone. A lot of people did.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's definitely a group that got a lot of hype going into the year. I think it was appropriate. Like, I think it was well-placed. You know, in hindsight, maybe we underestimated the Yankees a little bit, but then again, who saw Nestor Cortes and Jameson Taillon, you know, making every single start and being as good as they have? So, you know, with respect to the Jays, I think, yeah, we were probably a little high on them, but, you know, they're here they are. And I think going forward, I still think they're a very good team on talent. Now, very good teams can do weird things in 75-game stretches. And the reality is, whatever you think of this team's talent, they're running out of time because they've essentially, if you look at the first 87 games, they've kind of treaded water, right? They're 45-42. They're literally like neck and neck with the Orioles right now. So to get to where they want to go, they have to have a very strong finish. And you don't want to be in a position where you have to, but now that's something it's a must for this team.
So, and this is where I'm at with it, and this is why I think the conversations around the team are so difficult right now, because there are a lot of, like, you can talk yourselves into, because, yeah, they were World Series favorites at the beginning of the season. And, like, I don't even think the Yankees are... Here's how the Yankees are relevant, is that it's not... You're not playing for the division, so that should obviously change in terms of your outlook of, like, what you're pushing for, right? Like, if you're fighting for a division, it does matter. Like, that obviously matters more than being in a wild card game. So if the situation was you're in the wild card because the Yankees are just the Yankees alone, then you're kind of tipping the cap and going, like, well, you know, no one saw that quite coming. But if the Jays were having the season that we were expecting them to, maybe they're not catching the Yankees anymore. But, like, look at the standings right now. You know what? Look at run differential. Like, that's the thing that actually pops to me the most, where I'm going, holy cow. Like, yeah, they're kind of in a mix with a bunch of teams, and they're still very much in a playoff spot right now. And do I think that there's any given series that the Blue Jays could beat any of the Rays or the Red Sox or the Mariners, who have all had, you know, their struggles at some points this season? Of course. Like, of course I think that they're right there with those teams. I think that they're better than those teams. But the fact that the Jays have a run differential of +9 on July 11th, I think that's one of the more shocking things of the season. And that's it. Like, that's why I'm talking about, like, bigger picture changes rather than just, like, you know, being in on some more bullpen arms. Is, like, the expectation is that this team was going to take a step. The slogan of the year is next level. This is supposed to be the movie, not the trailer. And I just don't know how much longer you can wait on it for it to sort of tread water this way, where you just say, like, oh, well, you know, it's a bullpen arm. And I would be honest, like, if I was looking at this team, like, if I was the owner of this team, like, if it was just me, and I'm just one person, I'm owning this team, I don't know how much flexibility I'd be giving this group at the deadline. Like, I don't know how much I'd be willing to say, like, yeah, part with, you know, a major asset so that you can get a relief pitcher. Like, I'm just saying, like, this is a real, real tough evaluation if you look at it from what the expectation was at the beginning of the year, and not like the up and down roller coaster of a season, then comparing it to like an unbelievable year from the Yankees.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a good point for sure. And, you know, I guess the way I look at it is you look at this season as a whole, 2022 for the Jays. And to me, it's going to be defined by what happens in the playoffs, because, you know, if they don't make it, then there will be a change managerial, I would think. I mean, it's very hard to imagine. Yeah. So, you know, so they have to make it. And if they do make it, then it's defined by what happens there, because, you know, the one chance that this group's had was in 2020 with the little wild card game series in Tampa that doesn't even really count. And, you know, okay, so they're swept in two games. And that's all the experience in the playoffs they've had. So this is the time to actually start pushing. This is a World Series caliber core, Vlad, Bo, Springer. This is the kind of core the GMs dream of, and they have to make good on it. So to me, it's what happens in October. And, you know, we're here on July 11th. Course, you know, you live and die with the ups and downs of this team, but at the same time, we're a long way away from really defining what this team will be. And at this point, it doesn't look good, because they don't look like a team that's necessarily even going to make it there. And if they do, it'll be a wild card on the road, maybe a play-in game to get to the wild card. Like, they're not putting themselves in a good position, but they're a long way away from defining what this team's legacy will be.
You're bang on. I cannot help but look at what's happening with the Orioles right now, though, and think about, like, the the almost like cosmic hilarity that would be there if the Jays missed because the Orioles passed them. You know, like that, that all of a sudden we're going to be looking like as if I'm looking at the schedule to see when the Orioles are to go, wow, this matters, you know, like, wow, the Blue Jays schedule against those Orioles games coming down the stretch. Like if there's one prediction I was absolutely not making, it was that. Okay. So last one before you go, do you have any sense that, yeah, the trade market has started to intensify or that we are starting to see like a bit of a turn in the corner? Like, yeah, now we're 3 weeks away from the deadline and yet it still feels like relatively quiet.
Yeah. Honestly, not really. I think it's going to be, up until the deadline, I think that's certainly been the case in recent years, but you don't see a lot of trade movement so far. And I think a lot of it comes down to exactly what we're talking about. I mean, you think about Baltimore as one of those teams, or Seattle even. You know, these are teams that in previous years might have been selling already. You know, 2 weeks ago they might have been selling. But now there's that extra time. If you're hovering around 500, you want to see what could happen because there are teams like the Toronto Blue Jays that are scuffling, maybe creating an opportunity. So in a sense, the Blue Jays' struggles actually open the door for some of those teams in the American League, at least, to hold on longer. Because why would you sell us the Orioles right now? And this is a team that they're having the best stretch of baseball that they've played in years, like maybe in 5 years. So they're not about to sell right now. And that changes everything, too, because then whoever is out there, the couple names on the Royals, for example, well, all right, the price is going to be a little bit higher now on Benintendi or Barlow because they're really the only guys out there.
Yeah. Yeah, it just – and you want to talk about, like, opening the door for teams. Imagine had Toronto just done the opposite to Seattle and gapped that position and made Seattle not all that aggressive. Because, like, I think one of the scariest situations that they opened up that I hadn't mentioned yet today is that – the Mariners are the team in baseball with the longest playoff drought. They're a team that is already acting desperately when it comes to like contracts that they've given out to players over the last couple of years. Like they are desperate in Seattle to make the postseason. And if you're going to talk about a team that's going to be willing to fork over assets and do like win now moves at the deadline and is like absolutely 1,000% going to add, it's them. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to be in there with Tampa Bay where you go, yeah, Tampa's probably not going to do anything too crazy. Boston, you know, they're not in it for the division, blah, blah, blah. Seattle, like, I really think that you opened up the door to, like, a completely different competitive animal when it comes to the trade market over the next couple of weeks. Ben Nicholson-Smith, it's great as always. Keep up the great work. And, yeah, we'll talk to you very, very soon, pal.
Okay, looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
See you, man. This Insider has been brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. That was Ben Nicholson-Smith, again, of the At the Letters podcast, which is excellent. Him and Arden. Arden was dialed in yesterday. He made the prediction
about...
Lots of
TV time for those two lately, eh?
Oh, yes. Listen. Did you see Ben in his green suit the other day?
I love the green suit.
My boy was looking hot.
Little Dartmouth green.
Hot, hot, hot. We got to take a break. The Wake and Rake is next. Brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds.
Unibet.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With JD, Blake, and Ailish.
Fan, morning show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Time for the Wake and Rake. Brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. The best birthday gift I could have ever asked for was the Toronto Blue Jays to not play today. It was a little treat for me. No Jays game. I don't have to watch that torture. Get to enjoy
my
evening.
Be cool if the Leafs made a trade today, though. Like, give us
some
content.
That'd be a nice treat,
because I don't want to carry through the same Blue Jays conversation for today. Like, honestly, I just want this team to get back to winning. I just want them to get back to, some kind of normalcy here. Again, like these next six games before the All-Star break, like let this be a bit of a reminder to everybody involved here. Is like that's going to be the week-long narrative. Like this is going to very much shape. You either get to say like dudes like JD are idiots who are reactionary and want things like changes.
Anyway.
Yeah, they do. You're right. They do. But prove people wrong. Fight for your manager. Fight for your baseball team. And go into the break 4-2 in the stretch. Anything below 4-2, unacceptable. I'm telling you, it is. 3-3 is flat out not good enough for this baseball team right now. They've been great at Rogers Center all year long. They got to get home. They got to normalize. They got to find a way to just improve this baseball team. Because, yeah, again, I mentioned the run differential of +9, that has to change. You cannot have a run differential of +9 in a season where you're supposed to be World Series champions. Again, like just to give some people some context on that stat, Because everyone always talks about the Yankees, because their run differential is plus 177, right? You go, well, nobody's that. Boston, plus 51. Minnesota, plus 50. Minnesota. Like, that's the Twins. Plus 50. Seattle's plus 22. The Texas freaking Rangers, who everyone thinks stinks. They're 5 games below .500. They're sneakily 4 games off the wild card right now. But a team that's gone 3-7 in their last 10. Plus 12. Like, plus 12. And I know the Jays are in a harder division. Boo-hoo. They knew that from the beginning of the season. That was always part of the expectations. No one thought the Orioles were going to be that good. But everyone, I think, thought that the Rays were going to be a bit better than they are. And I think that people thought Boston would be kind of around what this is. Anyway, all I'm saying is it's important in this time, even as we're talking about things like, boy, it's reactionary. It's reactionary Monday to the Blue Jays having one little blip. Like, yes, it is. This is a bad blip in a season. It's 162 games, and we're talking about 7 of them. However, I just want to once again remind everybody that this team was expected to be in a World Series contention this year. They were expected to take a step. It was expected to be next level, and it has not been that.
Mm-hmm. Next level.
It has not. It has not been anywhere close to it. It just hasn't. Plus 9 run differential in July. 2 games up on Baltimore in July is not where this team expected to be. And, like, frankly, the only reasons, like part of the reasons that they're, like, even in this wildcard race is that, like, Tampa Bay and Boston have been really disappointing at times. Boston got off to a horrific start, and Tampa is very mid. Tampa's lost 3 straight, too. Like, Tampa stinks, and they're plus 18, like, in run differential. Like, they're still double what the Blue Jays are. Anyway, just, again, when you say that these are too reactionary, I understand it. But I also think that, again, it's like this is a solid sample now. Anyway. No Blue Jays game today. Nothing to bet on with your Toronto Blue Jays.
I want to tell you some thing I saw on Twitter that we got to raise. We didn't get a chance to do it earlier, but okay. Frank Saravelli.
Before I talk Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Or like odds.
Yes. Just one side little thing that I think you'll have a comment on. Frank Saravelli raised this interesting thing. The NHL schedule was released. Listen to the Arizona Coyotes schedule for 2022-23. Which we know is already going to be abysmal with their situations and where they're playing. 20 out of the first 24 games are on the road. They play 2 home games in October and November.
Those bros are going to be tight.
There is no Saturday night home game during the entire NCAA season.
That's probably smart, though.
And there is one in December during the Christmas break. What a miserable season to start. I don't know how the NHL is allowing this. They're on the road for 20 of the first 24 games. Yes.
Yeah, it's embarrassing from like a professional league standpoint. Yes. But I actually think that from an Arizona standpoint, like that's not so bad because, one, Saturday nights are college football anyway. Like, again, yeah, the Arizona Sun Devils are going to draw way more people than the hockey team. And like you're going up against college football in Arizona is like, no. Cardinals are coming back. Like, you're not getting any Saturday night viewership. I don't know what they even care about with like TV ratings or attendance or anything like that. But yeah,
fans,
going across.
Want to go to a Saturday night hockey game? You don't think anyone would be interested?
No, I don't, Ailish. That's the point I'm making. Is like, I don't think that anybody in like the reason why they're playing in a college stadium in the first place is because nobody cares. And no, when you're competing against college football in the States and college football and NFL football in Arizona, you're going to lose. Like, you're not going to do anything. So I think getting away from that portion of the calendar is a good thing for them. Two, from a team standpoint, like, that reminds me a little bit of the Blue Jays thing in 2020 where you're like, you're in Buffalo and you use it against you go, it's us against the world. No, we're not going to be playing in front of home fans for an entire season. I don't know, like,
you think they're going to rally around it and be a sneaky good team?
No, I don't think that because I think that they're sellers who are too young and that they're in a rebuild. But I do think in terms of like building something together as a young core, the guys that are going to be there and the guys that are going to play and the guys that are going to matter, you know, 3 years from now. Again, these things happen faster than you think if they're done right. I don't trust Arizona to do it correctly, but if they're done right in the NHL, like this is the whole thing about like the flat cap and being able to use a lot of those assets quickly to turn around and make a trade, like an Alex DeBrincat trade with Ottawa, right? Like Ottawa went from overnight being, haha, Ottawa, what a disaster, to, oh my God, Ottawa looks kind of frisky this year. Like if they get a, their goaltending tandem might be something, and they might even, you know, like they're a team now. Arizona could technically do that. I don't believe that they will. All I'm saying here is that I don't think that it matters in terms of anything with their attendance or like their viewership or draw, because they're just frankly not. They're just not at all a television draw or a ticket draw. They're not. So who cares? But I do kind of like the idea that they would be able to do the like Blue Jays. Remember when they used a t-shirt that had a bindle on it and they got in trouble? They were like, you're not allowed to do that because people are so serious all the time. I think that they could use that to their advantage for those young guys. Like, that's a great way to be like, you know this, you were an athlete, like, once upon a time. Adversity is usually a kind of a good thing. Like, something that is a common bond is usually a good thing. So, my spin there is that, yeah, it's a black eye for the league because the Arizona Coyotes have literally been that basically their entire existence. That hasn't changed. But, sneaky good thing for the players. I really do. I really think that's a good thing for the players. I don't think it's bad.
All right. You wanted to
is
bet.
It better to be in an 8,000 person stadium with 4,000 people?
I just think that's a long
it?
Time like, to be on the road. Really long, exhaustion.
Yeah, but they're a young
traveling.
Team. It's not like they're an older team with like a bunch of families at home that are going to be like really. It's, I'm just saying, like, they're a younger team. Like, and this is part of the drill. You're Arizona Coyotes. Like, this is a part of it.
If
so, yeah.
If you were on the team of JD thinking that it could be something to rally around, they are the lowest odds in the NHL to win the Stanley Cup at plus 50,000. Oh. You could just put $5 on that.
And don't misconstrue me that I think they're going to win the Stanley Cup.
But in terms of betting, worst odds, you never know. Maybe they're sleeper to make the playoffs.
Again, this is the Wake and Rake brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. I looked at the American League playoffs. Like, because today is a day where there's not a lot of baseball games. We do have our best bets, and we'll get to them in a little bit. But I was looking at World Series odds. We're in a stretch. It's an off day. Just wanted to see kind of like what the expectation is.
Yeah, I haven't looked in a while either.
What would you guess the Blue Jays number is at?
For World Series?
To win the American League and be in the World Series. Let's put it that way. Because I think that World Series championship bets, it's tough to place a bet on. It's tough to place a lot of bet on a lot of teams, but I always just feel like the better one is to do is like to bet on getting to the World Series in your league.
So winning the AL.
You do both though. It's way better odds for the Jays to win World Series, but just to win the American League, what do you think it is right now for the Jays?
I think that they're probably behind at least three or four teams. So I would say plus 1500. No, maybe a little higher, plus 2000.
No, not even close. They're plus 600 and they're only
plus
behind the Yankees.
Plus 600?
There, but this where I'm going with this is the Yankees are plus 180 to win the American League. The Astros are plus 250. The Red Sox are plus 1200. The Rays are plus 1400. Again, some
of
this
is mixed up there.
But some of this is that it's Ontario market, right? Like they're trying to attract Ontario bettors, or they're trying to make sure that they don't get the number too high. Because if the Blue Jays and you flip that with the Rays, and probably a lot of people are going to bet it. So whatever, they try to keep it down a bit. The thing that I find interesting about is how much is actually that number, how much of it is actually the Blue Jay fan suppression, that's the plus 600, and how much of that is, again, still a reminder, and to me and to everybody else included, like when we were doing those conversations around like all the ifs and buts around a team, I think that the Jays are better than Boston and Tampa. I think that they're better than Minnesota. I think they're better than Seattle, even though they just got swept. I know that's a crazy thing to say. And that's the case for still being able to like go into the deadline and weaponize, you know, your prospects and really try to focus in on adding pitching to this team. And it's why like I would just caution people who are like quote unquote giving up on the season, which I think I am creating a little bit of a straw man, like an internet straw man. I think most people know the score here, that it's a good baseball team. It's a baseball team that's not as good as a lot of people thought they were going to be. It's a baseball team with like some pretty serious flaws, especially when it comes to the pitching, both starting and relief, which is a surprise given that coming into the year, there was a real outline that they could have seven starting pitchers of like some impact. But that they still are one of the better teams in baseball. They're still one of the like, how do you see a road to a World Series, right? How do you see a roadmap to get there? They're still one of those groups. So I still have a lot of expectations for them, like, moving forward, and I still do think that there's going to be, some improvements made, and I think that they will bounce back from this. I'm just curious to see kind of how that happens and when that happens and whether it's too late and whether, again, like we talked to Ben Nicholson-Smith about later, like, whether or not they can use that in the postseason. And I think part of the reason why, again, they're also plus 600 is you would argue, like, hey, JD, if they face the Rays are going to have a game with McClanahan. And I would just count that by saying, I think that the Jays have two all-star guys that if you're looking at, by the way, it's going to be tough for them to win it because I think that there are a couple of guys that are just, I don't want to say far and away ahead, but I think McClanahan has a really strong case. I think that Gerrit Cole right now has a better case or at least a close to case. But if you're looking at the best pitchers in the American League right now, like, there's some actual value on betting a Cy Young on either of the Blue Jays pitchers.
I just pulled that up too. +1,800 for Alec Manoa.
Yeah, and +1,900 for Kevin Gausman. Mm-hmm. So kind of marginal differences. I think Gausman missing this time in such a tight race with so many good pitchers this year, that stings him. But that there's some decent value there. The only thing is with that is I always wonder how much plays in too with voters. The idea that a Blue Jay got it last year. And I think what you'd have to have is like a clear winner. And to me this year, as of this very moment, for me, it's Shane McClanahan. Like that's where I'm at with the award, and he's second favorite.
Yeah.
Yep. And I know. And he's number two. So that to me is the better bet in terms of right now. Who's number one again?
Justin Verlander.
Yeah, because I didn't mention him. Yeah, Verlander's having an insane year. Like, he's been
But
so
he's
good.
Only, I think he's +250 and...
Yeah, they're Rays.
+260s, yeah, the next one.
Yeah, they're right there. I just, you know, Verlander's like... It's funny. He's like the forgotten name because people, one, don't, like... I think that Houston is a team that nobody still really likes. Two, Verlander we just take for granted. But it is crazy that when Verlander went to Houston, a lot of people thought his career was over. And now the guy might end up winning a Cy Young. He also has the best like narrative angle tilt to it, where I would say, yeah, people will give him like a lifetime achievement award over McClanahan. I think it would be the case. The only thing, as I would say, is why I think McClanahan's the favorite is that he's in the tougher division. And if the Rays finish second in the wild card, that's going to be viewed differently than even the Astros finishing first in that division, where it's much, much, much weaker with the Angels and Oakland and Texas and, again, a Seattle team that's been scrappy as of late. But, yeah, wasn't expected to be here. And that's what I was going to the reason why I brought up the World Series odds is because I think this is, like, a kind of an interesting time to buy the Mariners coming out of the American League.
I'm trying to find that, to come out of the American League.
Yep. Look at what it is.
Got to pull that up.
You just want me to say
it? Oh, yeah.
I was going to let you read it.
Is it +4,000?
The Mariners are +5,000 to get out of the American League. They're behind the Angels right now on Unibet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that doesn't make any sense. These are the teams that are ahead of the Seattle Mariners right now. Like, I'm just saying this is a value play. These are the teams that are ahead of the Mariners right now, that team that we just got to look at. And again, they're, you know, they look amazing because they just swept the Toronto Blue Jays. No, but here's the deal. I like the Mariners' top of their, like, batting order. I think that they have a bunch of guys there that can play. I think the Santana addition to them really helped. And this is why I'm bringing this up. A couple of years ago, I mentioned that there was a really good futures bet for Lamar Jackson winning MVP, and it hit. And it's about looking at the schedule, and it's about looking at what you could end up adding at the deadline for me in this case. I just said it with Ben Nicholson-Smith. I think if there was a team that I had to circle in the has the splashiest deadline in all of baseball this year, I would say that the Mariners have a good chance of being that. Like, look around the league and tell me who is going to be willing to part with long-term future pieces more than them. Maybe the Mets. Like, the Mets being where they're at right now, I think they're going to be very aggressive. Atlanta's coming off of a World Series. They're right in it. They're, you know, they're five games up in the wild card. They're a pretty complete team. Is Milwaukee going to get desperate? Is St. Louis? I don't know. I don't think so.
Do the Mariners traditionally spend much?
The Mariners are a team that have not made the playoffs the longest. Mm-hmm. They have the longest drought. They have done a lot in the past in terms of trades, and they have actually been overly aggressive at times chasing this thing. Whether it's been contracts to guys like Robbie Cano, or whether it's been ones to guys more recently like Robbie Ray. They have always been aggressive, and I would anticipate that this team does that again. If you look at what their offseason was, who they brought in and what the expectations were for this baseball team, they are to make the playoffs. And I think that their ownership wants it desperately. So if I'm looking at a team that is going to spend, it's going to be the Seattle Mariners.
What do they need most?
If I'm looking at a team, that's the beauty of a team like the Mariners, mm-hmm. is that they can actually add just about anywhere and feel like an upgrade. Like you just saw them. Like it's like, yeah, they could add a starting pitcher. Mm-hmm. They could add – their bullpen's pretty sweet. Like they got a lot of decent arms in the bullpen, but you can always add more bullpen arms. And you can always add another bat, right? Like, yeah, they could always add another bat. But if I'm looking at, again, the betting odds right now, the Yankees plus 180, Astros plus 250, Blue Jays plus 600, mm-hmm. Red Sox plus 12. Do you think that there's a big gap between the Red Sox right now? Like, the Jays just got swept by the mm-hmm. Mariners. They're plus 600. The Mariners are plus 5,000.
That's a significant difference. I was surprised that they were that high.
That's my point. Mm-hmm. The Guardians, who are behind the Mariners, are plus 3,500. The Twins are plus 2,000. The White Sox, plus 1,600. Like, I just think right now, if you can make a bet today that's a just $5 mm-hmm. long shot flyer, the Mariners are the best bet that you can make on the entire board in any sport today. Like, that is the best value. They are currently sitting in a playoff spot. They are red hot, and they are the most likely team, in my opinion, to add a bunch at the trade deadline and going to be willing to spend prospects and whatever it takes to stomach things like rentals, things like long-term adjustments, whatever. They have a lot going for them.
Can I sell you on the Orioles plus 30,000?
You cannot. You cannot. Because I don't think that the Orioles will make the playoffs because, again, they have a gauntlet of a final schedule. This is the other part of the equation. The Mariners still get to play the American League West. Mm. These other teams are in for playing more games against the Yankees. The Blue Jays are going to be playing Baltimore. Tampa's going to be playing Baltimore. Boston's going to be playing Baltimore. Seattle has Texas, the Angels, and Oakland. Like, all littered throughout the last month and a half of their schedule. Like, that's such a huge advantage for them. So, again, like, that's why I think that if you were buying a future, like, you would want to look at something like, yeah, the White Sox are out of it right now. Or Seattle is in it, though. Again, it's 8 straight games in a row, but you're not paying a premium on that. Normally, right now, it would be, oh, wow, you're really paying. No, they're plus 5,000. That's such ridiculous odds. Like, I don't know. I think that that is absurd that, again, they're behind multiple teams who are behind them in the standings. The Angels, the Guardians, the White Sox, all behind them, and they have much worse odds. I don't know if it's a mistake. I don't know if it's something that's going to have an adjustment being made soon. But, again, I think that it is absolutely worth it, just $5, even though I don't think they're going to come out of the American League. I just don't. But I think this is a roadmap for them.
Stranger
I think
things
that there's
have happened,
like,
right?
They're a halfway decent ball club, and if, again, they add another front-end starting pitcher, which they might end up doing. Mm-hmm. But I kind of like their – like, again, they've got enough starting pitching.
I'm going to screenshot these odds, and then after the trade deadline, we can look back and see how much they move, because I think that's always an interesting narrative to see. Okay, this team yep. clearly upgraded enough that the books really think that they have a shot.
Yep. I'm just like, I think that they have some decent depth at starting pitching. They've got a couple of guys that are a little bit further away, like Kirby and Gilbert, who probably in a couple of years from now, but maybe, honestly, maybe one of those guys even goes in a trade, like for something that is of more significance right now. And again, I think that they'll be in on those top teams. So yes, Seattle Mariners plus 5,000. That is technically my best bet of the day, but yeah, it's a future. So I'll give you.
We're not going to make you wait till October for that one to cash on
no,
the weekend.
No, I won't. But well, yeah, but I do want a lot of credit for this take if they even make the playoffs at this point, because again, those odds will. Here's my only thing is those odds are only going to get better if they keep winning and if they add. Like that's it. Like they it's going to change, and I have a tough time believing that it's going to change in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. I think that it's going to go the other way. And if you want to talk about, like, even immediate future, like, we talked about the Blue Jays 6 games before the deadline. The Mariners 6 games before the deadline are against the Nationals and the Rangers. So my guess is that their expectation is to go 4-2 over that stretch as well, which will probably maintain them in a playoff position, at least be able to kind of stay tied with the Blue Jays, which by the time All-Star break comes and people start looking at those futures, my guess is even come All-Star break, the Mariners' odds are down. Okay, anyway, Seattle Mariners plus 5,000 on Unibet. Ailish Forfar, what is your best bet today?
Okay, I know you like to go good pitching matchups, so I'm going the opposite with a horrendous pitching matchup. The Rangers and the A's. Spencer Howard has a 10.9 ERA, and Adrian Martinez has a 6 ERA. They are both awful. They will be playing today with two teams also ranking in the bottom 10 for run defense. So you can do this many ways. The total over-under for the game is 9, which I hate when it's a flat number, at minus 115. If you want to tease that down to 8.5, it's a big, significant drop, minus 143 for that. So I don't love that in terms of full game. The first three over is minus 137. That's at 2.5. But I'm going to go with the first five over because I know you like doing first five unders. I think, well, I'll switch it up a little bit today. It's my birthday. I can do whatever I want. First five over at 5.5 is plus money, plus 115 on Unibet. I think that those guys are going to let a lot of runs happen really early in the game. I don't have much faith in them, and it's more fun to cheer for a game with lots of runs. So that will be my best bet of the day.
So I like it. I'm a little disappointed in you, though.
Oh, why is that?
I thought you were going to have some birthday numbers. Like, I thought that you were going to have Ailish loves her numbers. I think that
I haven't seen. I tried
really
to find a way.
How boozy your weekend was because you're like not really
locked
in on it.
There's nothing like what, okay. 28 runs to be scored in this game?
Well, it didn't have to be your birthday number. It could have been something to do with 11. It could have done
7-11.
Like there, I just would have been looking for signs.
That's
if
a
I
lot
was
of work
like,
at 5 a.m.
But. Well, these lines were up yesterday, too.
Changed the first five innings to over 4.5. So that's what we have to click now. And that's minus 130. So unfortunately, that's what you're getting now. I was early on it. But if you're going to bet it now that we've set it on air, it's been moved to over 4.5.
I just want to let you know that it took me 1 second to realize that Trevor Rogers is pitching today, and I believe he's number 28. And you didn't back number 28, okay. Trevor Rogers, against the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm just saying, like, that's me taking 1 second, you know, like,
yeah,
to, like,
you're right.
1 second.
I'm a little worried about betting anything Rogers related.
Wow.
Ba-dum-boom.
That's rude. You're done. No, I stand by Rogers. I think this is great. They're doing the best. Trevor Rogers, I kind of want to make that my best bet that he beats the Pirates. What's the line on that today?
Hold on.
I'll get it.
You keep
because I have my other bet
like
in front of me.
So
my other bet in front of me is the under 3.5 minus 124 in the under first five Mets Braves. Two scary offenses, but if you look at Max Fried and Max Fried and Max Scherzer today, been pretty pedestrian over the last couple of weeks against left-handed pitching have been the Mets. 698 OPS, pretty middle of the pack. The Braves. These are two offenses that can both hit the long ball. These are two offenses that can end this immediately. There's just no doubt about it. But I still think that these two pitchers, their strikeout ability, the fact that, again, the Mets have been not remarkable against left-handed pitching lately. I will say Atlanta's offense against righties have been awesome. So, like, this scares me. But it is Max Scherzer, so I'm putting some faith in him.
What do you want from the Rogers lines?
I want just the money line. What are they against?
So the Marlins to win, minus 167. Yeah. If you want Trevor Rogers to win,
yeah.
I'm still minus 167, sorry. I thought there was something different there. Or I'm looking at his over-under in terms of pitching, but it's not really up yet. Sorry.
What's his over-under in terms of strikeouts?
Yeah, I'm looking. It's not up yet. Sorry.
Oh, it's up. He's just
I'm going.
It's up. It's up.
Like, is it? Are you seeing it?
I don't know. No, but I will say that I do like Trevor Richards' stuff today for the Ailish birthday special.
Trevor Rogers.
Yeah.
He said Richards.
Sorry.
A different guy.
It is a different guy. It is a different guy. I like Trevor Rogers, number 28, Ailish's 28th birthday. Again, it's the sign of the day. I'm going to roll with that. I'm going to roll with both those bets. I like the under 3.5, but also, like, yeah, I'm going to bet the Marlins on the money line. All right, I'll lay the juice and
I'll have that.
And I'll do the 28 for 28. And if there is anybody else that's number 28 today, I don't know about it. But
Or like 7 or 11. Just
7 or 11. So like, yeah,
I'll find a little parlay, yeah. Birthday parlay. I'll post it later.
That was what you're supposed to do already. You know, like.
My birthday,
like,
I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, what you do is you're like, I don't know anybody's like. All right, today's the Fan Morning Show, and again, this was the Wake and Rake presented by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. We will catch you tomorrow. Text line Tuesday, so make sure that you reach out in those DMs at JD Bunkus, at Ailish Forfar. Send us a tweet, send us a DM anytime. We'll see you tomorrow.